Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of State of Our Nation. Now, it's official that come November 30th, Barbados will be entering a new chapter in its political history, removing the Queen as the head of state and entering the Republic status. Prime Minister Mayor Amor Motley would have announced last week that Barbados will become a parliamentary republic. She said that the cabinet has accepted the recommendation of the Ford Commission with minor modifications, and the parliamentary republic shall have non-executive president, and that shall be elected by the electoral colleges of both houses of parliament, and the president shall be entitled to serve initially for a period of 4 years, and thereafter can be reappointed for another term. There has already been some publicly raised objection to the process. And to be quite honest, there are a few unanswered questions regarding how the process is going to work, especially as it relates to things like the Constitution, etc. Opposition leader Joseph Adley said 4 months is hardly enough time for Barbadians to weigh in on the critical issues such as Constitution reform and constitutional change, especially given the stress which the country was going through with the COVID-19 pandemic and slow economic recovery. He also argued that the Ford Commission in 1999, that was the time that study was done, could not be considered relevant to this generation. He also questioned why the Mayor Motley administration was moving with such haste to transition Barbados to republic status, arguing that it was taking place without wide consultation for a step of this magnitude. The Democratic Labour Party has also weighed in on the issue, and they have argued that the move runs much deeper than a swap from Governor General to President, but reaches into our civil service, police force, judiciary, Director of Public Prosecutions. Any major constitutional change, they argued, should insist that our people are engaged at every level. She also, and that's the President of the Democratic Labour Party, would have noted that government would have promised a referendum on the whole idea of being a republic, and that was not delivered. Now, I have with me in studio today Dr. George Bell as our co-host, and he would be going into the meat of the issue with me, and hopefully we can help the public better understand the process that we are embarking on. Good morning, Dr. Bell, and welcome to State of Our Nation.
Good morning, Mr. Muncie.
Okay.
Good morning to everybody else.
Now, first of all, let me start the ball rolling. Do you have any questions that you need urgently addressed as it relates to the push towards being a republic? Is there any outstanding issues that you're not clear on?
Well, I think it is up to the government to make it clear. I don't think it is up to people in the public to make clear what the process would be. The government represents the people, the government and the opposition, if there's an opposition. They are the representatives of the people if they have seats in Parliament, and they can say on a question like the Constitution, what the procedure would be in relation to any amendments or changes. So I think that is what we'll be waiting on. The government has declared what the procedure would be, in my view.
Now, in terms of the comment by both Adderley and the President of the Democratic Labour Party, Ms. Verde Pisa, that the Ford Commission is pretty much an outdated, irrelevant to this generation, and therefore to base this move on that documentation is not very wise. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, is it relevant, or is their point of view not holding any water whatsoever?
That is not all that the Prime Minister said. The way that I interpreted what she said was that the Ford Commission represents the initiation, or let's say it demonstrates the investigation that took place into this question back in 1999. So it's the most recent investigation into the question of important constitutional change. The Ford Commission, as with any commission, would be advisory, and it would be indicating that it looked at various sections of the Constitution. If you look at that report, you're going to see, as with the one for the Commission, they followed the Constitution and addressed the various issues within the Constitution. And then they come to conclusions on each of these issues. So that is the framework in which the discussion begins. So what the argument, from what I can gather, that the government is making is that we have had this investigation more than once. The Ford Commission was the last one, and the Ford Commission actually recommended that we go Republican, and that that would be used as the basis for proceeding to discussions on how the Constitution would be amended after the change to Republican status.
From my perspective, the president that that is being proposed is also going to be what is tantamount to another figurehead. Do you think that this is the best route, especially given that a president with that is elected by the people and has powers and so on might provide further checks and balances to our political system? What are your thoughts on that view?
The Westminster system has in checks and balances already, and I can enter into that discussion later on. But I think the initial point here is that it is procedural. So we go back to the procedural issue. And what is being said is that the basis on which the constitutional reform discussions will start is by taking the step to repatriate the Constitution. The Constitution right now is Act of Parliament of the British Parliament. And what you do is that you say now that Barbados is going to determine its own independence as a state, and it will do so at the level of a Republican status. So Barbados is no longer inviting the Queen of England or the Queen of Great Britain to be our Queen as well. It is saying that we are going to move beyond that and become a republic by removing the monarchy. This is basic fundamental that one is doing. It doesn't say about what else you're going to do in the Constitution. We would expect that having done something like that, you would take the opportunity to make other constitutional changes. But procedurally, all you're saying is that on the 30th of November, you will remove the British monarchy. And that has precedent in terms of its simplicity. If you go back to our independence constitutions, starting first with the Jamaican model, with Norman Manley, who was at the time the premier, he eventually lost the election, and Bustamante and Sarazana Bustamante became the first prime minister of Jamaica. But Norman Manley was premier at the time when they had their constitutional conference. Now, we know that Norman Manley is an Anglophile, I mean, Oxford educated and so on, lawyer. But at the same time, what he said in relation to proceeding to independence is that rather than going to deep fundamental changes as you move to independence, you should keep it very simple. Retain the Westminster model. Because he was an Anglophile, he said that we were lucky to have the Westminster model anyhow, because it was one of the better political systems in the world. And that we retain the Westminster system, which people were already accustomed to. They're already socialized into that, meaning that they were already educated in it. They already seen it practice. They had it for a number of years and so on. People were brought up on it. So there was nothing difficult in terms of understanding a new institution or new conventions or new practices or new laws or anything like that. Simply, yesterday it was the governor and tomorrow it would be the governor general. Yesterday it was a fully self-government colony. Today it would be independent. And that we will retain the Westminster system, that Jamaica would retain the Westminster system. So they retained the Westminster system, but they also kept the monarchy. At the request of the Jamaican government, you said, let the queen continue to be queen. So in a sense, the entire Westminster parliamentary system was transformed into the independent status of Jamaica. Early 1960s to mid-1960s, states in the Caribbean that went independent, which is the biggest states in the English Anglophone Caribbean, all followed that kind of model at the beginning. They went simply to the Westminster model. Later on, Trinidad and Guyana changed to Republican status. But they didn't do the Westminster model, and so did Barbados. Barbados has retained its Westminster model completely, Westminster parliamentary system, as has Jamaica. So in none of the cases was there anything that was immediately tremendously disruptive in constitutional terms. And I think that is the procedural technique that is being used here, that there's no need to go and engage in any major fundamental changes in relation to what is the first hurdle that one has to get over. And that is to say, remove the monarchy so that we will be a republic. Remove the monarchy so that we are no longer dependent on the British Act of Parliament in relation to our independence. and that we get Republican status, which is the most mature political standard sovereign nation. There's a bit of an anomaly in relation to saying that you are independent and then you're going to ask somebody else's head of state to be your head of state as well. I'm not saying that there are no other countries. I mean, we have Canada, we have Australia that are like that, but that don't mean that that is the best relationship that you could have. We also have most of the Commonwealth that is Republican. So that we are just saying, let's go Republican, as most of the Commonwealth is anyhow. You don't have to break all your relations with Britain in terms of it being a country that has been an ally for a long time, although it's very strange ways at certain points. But what you are doing is that you're simply saying that on the 30th of November, procedurally, you will become a republic. Then she says that from December the 1st, we are now going to look at the important issues of the Constitution, of constitutional reform. That gives you all the time in the world to deal with constitutional reform, all the time in the world to identify which issues in the Constitution should be looked at first and how much attention you will pay to them and what methods you will use to change them, or whether you just leave them there. That is the procedural issue. And that is the importance of the technique that we are going to. As I said, we had precedent from independence constitutions, and we are following that, I think, in a very common sense kind of way, because between now and November, there's no way that you can have any full-scale constitutional discussion anyhow. But if you waited on when you have the full constitutional discussion, you probably would wait another 50 years. Before you have any changes. So that this is the way in which you take the first step, a little step, but a significant step, a little step, symbolic step, a cultural step, but an important step.
You can contact your Nation Publishing subscription team 7 days a week in 7 different ways. Call customer service any day at 430-5550. Call subscriptions at 430-5503 or 04. Email subscribers at nationnews.com. Email e-paper support at nationnews.com. Visit www.nationnews.com and select print subscriptions. Visit www.nationnews.com and select e-paper subscriptions. Visit our office on Fontebelle St. Michael. If your call is not answered, please leave a message. We are here to serve you. Nation News, your news, your time, your way.
Now, we have examples in the region of countries that have gone this route. You have Guyana on one hand, which is at one end of the spectrum in terms of the type of presidency that I was describing earlier, that, you know, I think, in my view, might make some sense as well. And then you have the Trinidad, which seems to be along the line that we are kind of angling towards as well. Are there any lessons from those forerunners that we can take into what process we are going through at this point?
I think Trinidad, if you look at the Trinidad Constitution and the method in which they moved to Republican status, that is the model that we could immediately follow. They did a very simple maneuver, and this is Eric Williams, one of the most nationalists of that generation of national leaders, took this simple procedure of saying, we need to become a republic, and did so. And then he said it would be a parliamentary republic, and it would follow the Westminster model in that, on that basis, so that all you're doing is making, removing the presence of the British monarchy, you're replacing it with a Trinidadian head of state, which is a Trinidadian president, and the Trinidadian president is going to be elected by an electoral college and so on. And that is how we will proceed from there. The Guyana thing is, and I think that Trinidad will be our model, substantially, in relation to going forward. Because even in terms of technical issues, like what you're going to change at the level of heads and all of that, they use a simple methodology. They said, wherever you saw monarchy before, wherever you saw the crown before, wherever you saw the queen before, you read Trinidad, you read the state, and so on. And that is a methodology that is used in law for many things. So that in constitutional terms, you can say that he means she, and she mean he, and all that kind of stuff. And the singular is the plural. All that they were saying is that wherever you see the queen, you take out the queen, you put in Trinidad. So that would be the same thing in Barbados. Wherever you see that, you put in Barbados, and so on and so forth. The case of Guyana is slightly different. Now, we know that Guyana has this very peculiar problems, but Guyana also has even a different electoral system to ours. That Guyana has proportional representation. And Guyana has a deep racial divide, which even went to the point of civil war at one point. We had a very undesirable electoral system in Guyana, and so on and so forth. The presidency in Guyana was deliberately designed to strengthen the hand of the dominant political leader at the time, who was Mr. Forbes Burnham. And it had characteristics that made it a very strong presidency. I don't think that is a model that we want to follow. Even if we want a strong president, if you want an executive president, I don't think the Guyana model is the one to follow. The Guyana model is very much informed with trying to dominate the other side in the political arena, and so on and so forth. So I think that we could put Guyana aside. Guyana is a peculiar state with peculiar conditions, and certainly some of the issues in Guyana could have been reformed, because the opposition, PPP, has been in office now twice, and they could have tried to carry out reforms. So the thing has remained in place more or less as Mr. Burnham designed it, and it will stay so until they think that is critical to move to another level. But it's difficult to say that they have a parliamentary presidency. They don't really. And they might have come out of that and therefore carry some of the characteristics. Trinidad is the one that is closer to a parliamentary republic, or is a parliamentary republic. And I think that is the one that we can stick close to in relation to Holland as a model.
You would have gone into some detail in your explanation earlier that basically what we are doing is something symbolic on the 30th. But there are many questions being asked as what Barbados is going to look like on December 1st politically. As a person with the type of experience and who have studied these models, what can you tell persons as to what we can expect with this symbolic change, as you would have outlined, come December 1st?
The whole point of making the reference to the independence constitutions and to Jamaica and to the position of Norman Washington Manley was that what he was saying was that what was there yesterday is going to be there tomorrow. And that is why it's going to be an extremely simple, easy transition. And then after, we can look at anything down the road. But they didn't look at anything down the road, really. Jamaica has remained quite conservative in terms of its independence constitution, as has Barbados. But the critical thing was, if on November 30th, we become a republic, on 1st of December, the sun will be shining the same way. There's not going to be no real big difference. But there is still, nonetheless, a significance in that it means that you have actually taken the step to start to look at your governance process. And that is what the Prime Minister said. She said, on December the 1st, we will start to look at our governance processes. So what you've done is you've turned the key in the lock, and you just eased open the door, and then you can push the door open, or you can still keep it closed. But then you would start an entire exercise that will take you down the road in relation to whether you want governance reforms and in what fashion and to what degree. Remember that most countries, if they're moving from ground zero in a constitution to another level, it usually comes after tremendous political turmoil, which we are not going through. It would be that you're going through a revolutionary stage, like the United States in its war of independence and so on, or some Cuba or China or Russia or something like that, where they then have something called a constituent assembly, which simply meets to put the things in place so that the country can go forward. We are not in that situation. We are in a situation where we have governance procedures, practices, and so on, well in place. And there's no need to get all excited and bubbly and saying that you want to change the world and all that, because it's not going to happen anyhow, even if you had the power to do it. And then you would have totally, what would happen is that so many people would have so many different opinions, because most people are going to be talking from positions of largely not knowing what they're talking about, that you have all kinds of opinions. You're going to end up doing nothing. Absolutely nothing. That's what's going to happen. You're going to have gridlock, stalemate. This is why in a context like that, what you do is that you should have confidence in your representatives. If they do a disastrous job, you can throw them out in the next number of years at the next general election by doing a disastrous job. But other than that, you're not doing like direct democracy in the case of Athens or something like that, where the citizens are going to come together and make the decision. Because you had to have time for that, or the population has to be small enough for that. We have long past centuries now when you can do that. So you have representative government. The representatives, you have confidence in them to make certain decisions. They're going to make the decision to go to Republican status on the 30th, and then they're going to make decision as to how you will deal with the reform of the Constitution over the months, years, or whatever in the future after that. And I think that is a mature way to deal with the issue. Everything else is a lot. It would be a lot of just pretense, and in fact, would be a basis for ending up with gridlock. Look at the example of the Nelson statue thing. There are people that I remember calling for Nelson to come down in 1973, and now it's 2021, and he came no way 2020. You can end up with all kinds of people talking all kinds of things. The thing just remains there. So likewise, right. If we start going into all kinds of issues before the time, and we're not doing it in a procedural way, and in terms of what is going to come first and what is going to come second, and how much attention you're going to pay to each thing, you are going to end up doing nothing. And you will be a republic 50 years from now. Sorry, you'll be a monarchy 50 years from now, probably after the British have very little respect for their own monarchy.
Dr. Bell, as the co-host today, I'm going to give you the last opportunity to add anything you feel necessary to the subject before we end our broadcast today.
Well, I think that we have to be careful not to trivialize important things like this. As much as we are saying that it is a symbolic change initially, it is an important change. And the reason why you can bring it down to a simple procedure is because you have a detailed exposure in comparative government to see how people have changed their constitutions and how the constitutions have evolved. So that even though we're looking like if we are just on November the 30th, we're going to make a simple change. Let's say if we go back to the independence constitutions as well. What Norman Manley was saying was that yesterday what we were, we will be tomorrow. But Jamaica had gone through over a century of changes in their constitution, going back to 1865 when the British took away their assembly and carried them back to Crown Colony government. Then from 1865, right, they went through federation, failed federation, 58-62, and then you went to independence. You went through things like what they call full internal self-government. You went through ministerial government, all these kinds of things, which CLR James says was a lot of palaver, a lot of waste of time to the British trying to teach us how to do constitutional changes. So he didn't respect that at all. But the thing is that you had all that beforehand, and then you had Manley in a position to say, okay, we can change the thing from today to tomorrow, and it will make no big difference. It was important because before today, you were a colony, and today you're not a colony in terms of international law and international recognition. On November the 30th, we will move from being a monarchy to a republic. And as small as that is, it is extremely significant, and it has come after long years of evolution in Barbados in relation to its constitutional status. But then we are going to then take the responsibility to say, you know, after 50 years of independence, we should have some reforms in our governance system, and this is an opportunity. Let's look and see what, if anything, and how to what degree we will change the governance system. I think that's the mature way to deal with this situation where you are facing a crisis of an existential crisis of collapse in some kind of way in relation to governance. You're not facing any existential crisis. You're not in any revolutionary situation or anything like that. We are simply saying, let's move from a common sense position of living under the monarchy of another state and become a state that takes care of itself. And that the procedure to do that is actually quite simple. All we have to do is to say that we will be a republic from the 30th of November.
Dr. Bell, insightful as always, and I really want to thank you for taking the opportunity to sharing your insights and wisdom, not only myself, but the listeners of this podcast. Again, there you have it, folks, an idea as to what we can expect after November 30th. I want to thank everyone for joining me on State of Our Nation, and I do wish you all a very productive and prosperous day.